Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, friends. Welcome to another edition of Trust the Tape. Zach Wolchuk here alongside the draft legend that is Brian Broaddus. And, of course, we're brought to you by Boomer Jacks, the deliciousness that is Boomer Jacks. They've got a ton of locations around the DFW Metroplex. And those specials, Brian.
Oh absolutely. Specials. Yeah, we were at with Boomer Jacks. They've always, anytime you want to go out, have a nice meal, if you want to watch a game, that's always a great opportunity, you know, with March Madness in full swing right now. As you mentioned, the menu's great, the drink specials and stuff are great, and the fact that they've got all those televisions in there and a very helpful staff to make sure that you're taken care of there.
What a week in the National Football League, to say the least. We had free agency kickoff, also some major trades, and this could certainly impact the draft in a big way, with Deshaun Watson being traded to Cleveland. Now the Texans have a ton of draft ammunition. And then he had Devontae Adams, maybe the biggest shocker, going from Green Bay to join his old college teammate Derek Carr in Vegas.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. I'll take the Green Bay one first, just because of my experience of working with the Packers. I'll be real interested to see, you know, Packers holding, I believe, picks 22 now and 28. And so, you know, it's not in the Packers' DNA to draft a first-round wide receiver. The last time they did it was in 2002, I believe. It was Javon Walker was the guy that was taken out of Florida State. And then before that, it was Sterling Sharp. And that was something that, if you look at what we've called the Packer way, you know, when we first started there in 1992, the things that Ron Wolf laid down as far as the evaluation still hold true today in Green Bay. So I'll be interested if Green Bay does, in fact, make that pick. And there'll be plenty of options there for them, I think, and good options at 22 or 28 if they want to go that direction.
Do you think, you know, and you're really plugged in with your time having worked in Green Bay, is there a specific type of receiver that organization would look for? I know you mentioned Javon Walker.
Yeah. To me, it really is more about the size. It's about the physicality. Look at the Packers. They necessarily don't have guys that have run great 40 times. But it's more about the size. It's the ability to go get the football. A thing that also, too, you have to kind of think about with Green Bay is those big guys, they hold up well in cold weather. You know, it's something you really have to think about in Green Bay is sometimes you get these receivers that play really well in, say they play in, they play in a dome stadium, or they play at, really warm weather environments. And a lot of the players in the Southeast are in those warm weather environments. But still, there was things that you have to think about in Green Bay. It is tough to go out there when it's 5 degrees and catch a football. And you have to have a certain mentality to be able to do that. And, you know, that's the thing that guys like Adams and Lazar, I mean, Lazar went to school at Iowa State.
Right.
So he's used to playing in that cold conditions and stuff like that. So, but it's always something you have to think about. Especially, like I say, in that NFC North,
sure,
with all those outdoor games that you play.
So I wonder if that would, and I don't even know if a Drake London would make it there, 6'4", out of USC. You know, some people are higher on Drake London than I am. Personally, I like the two Ohio State kids. We talked about Treylon Burks last week. He's my favorite receiver in the draft. Jameson Williams out of Alabama, who might end up sliding due to the injury. But so far, I think the medicals are actually checking out very nicely for him. And Mechie is his teammate there at Alabama. But, I mean, I feel from what you're saying they'd probably more inclined to go with one of those Ohio State kids if they end up making it there.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, when you look at with Garrett Wilson there, you know, and then Olave, both cold weather, cold weather wide receivers, you know. And, you know, with Drake London, I think he's got the body type that they really like in Green Bay. It's a long, you know, and you, when you, and that's important when you start to throw it. And you got one of the most accurate quarterbacks in NFL history throwing you the ball. And so what happens is if you have a route runner like a Chris Olave, who, you know, does really amazing things in small areas. You know, I mentioned Drake London, tall guy. I mean, you know, when he goes up for a football, like, defensive backs are slapping at his wrist.
Right.
They're not getting to the ball. When Drake London can fully extend, he is going to outreach a lot of people in this draft. And so that, I think that's important as well.
I will say the one thing that did impress me with Drake London is everyone knew he was getting the football.
Yeah, that's the thing about it is you watch those USC games and it's 13 to 15 targets and it's 10 to 12 catches every time.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, his tape is super, super impressive. You know, Jameson Williams, you know, that could be another one that people have talked about him with the knee injury and stuff like that. Could that be one of those things that's you get, you know, I have a feeling that Jameson Williams is going to end up on a really good football team probably late in the first round, and Green Bay fits that mode at 28.
So I, you know, we got to join you, our usual show that I'm on with Eric Chiafalo here at 105.3 The Fan, is the Nosebleed Seats. We got to sit in with you guys on the G-Bag Nation this week, had mm-hmm. a blast. And I teased during our show yesterday, I had an NFL comp.
Okay.
For Chris Olave.
All right.
And you can either roast me for this or you can tell me, you know what, that's a good eye. So good eye, bad eye.
Yeah.
When I watch Chris Olave, and you mentioned the route runner and the size and speed combination, but also the hands, I watch him and I see a lot of Keenan Allen.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think a little bit of a quicker
mm-hmm.
guy.
Yeah, he definitely ran a quicker 40. Yeah, there's quicker no doubt 40. About that.
Yeah, I think the thing with when you start to talk about the ability to play in space, the ability to catch the ball on the move. Yeah, I think that's a fair comparison. The speed and quickness, I think there's some difference there. But when you talk about the ability to find space, get the ball, kind of make something happen, boom, get down on the ground kind of thing. Yeah, that's what Chris Olave does. And the thing that amazes me about Chris Olave is that when they throw him the ball on the outside, you know, most of these receivers get 1 foot down. He's a get 2 foot feet down guy.
He's NFL ready right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, right now, NFL ready, corner of the end zone, 2 feet down. I mean, he has trained himself for this opportunity where he could just, you throw him the ball, he's going to catch it, he's going to stay in bounds. And you're going to be, how did he just do that?
No doubt.
Yeah.
So we've covered a lot of the guys in the first round of the draft. I think another interesting name is George Pickens.
Yes.
Out of Georgia.
Yeah.
George Pickens is one of those dudes, huge, 6'3", a little bit slender frame, under 200 pounds, was banged up his entire career at Georgia. But you could tell anytime he got on the field why they were so excited when they recruited him and they got him in Athens.
Yeah, no, this guy, and you're right about that, Zach. I mean, he was hurt and he tore his ACL in spring ball, so he basically missed the entire season and then was able to come back for the national championship game. But if you study him early in his career, he makes huge plays. And you know what? He's doing it up against guys that we're looking at right now in the first round of the draft, the Stingleys mm-hmm. and that kind of play. And so, you know, you see him making these plays and you're like going, man, I mean, okay, he's roasting these guys I've got in the first round as cornerbacks, but at 6'3", 195 pounds. I mean, there's no place you throw the ball anywhere in, and we talk about the high catch radius. You throw the ball anywhere near him, he is going to make this catch. I mean, he has got super strong hands and reminds me a little bit of Dez Bryant. Remember how Dez Bryant would run with the ball with like in one hand?
Yeah,
like he would hold it in one hand and absolutely. He'd run it, and you're like, oh, geez, he's going to lose, he's going to lose, he's going to lose it. And he's still, and then he'd like extend and hit it off the pylon or something like that. Super strong hands. His body control, I mean, he'll come up with the ball. I mean, it's just amazing. I think he's one of those guys that is going to be a big-time NFL player if everything checks out with that knee.
You have a two on him?
I actually do have a two on him. He's when you look at my top four guys, and this is kind of why I'm interested in where these guys. I've got Jameson Williams as my first guy, Wilson, Burks, and Olave in the one. London, Pickens, and then Dotson from Penn State.
Dotson's an interesting one for me.
And there's another one of those smaller, cold weather guys. I mean, he's shorter but lighter type of guys. Mitchie's another guy that I really, really like that's kind of going through some injury stuff. And then I have Sky Moore. And this is our old buddy Jeff Kavanaugh.
That's a Kavanaugh specialty. Love Sky Moore.
Yeah, and Sky Moore, though, he's worthy. This is not just somebody you pumped air into. He's from Western Michigan. It's not a pump-up air guy, and all of a sudden he's rising up the board. This guy's a legitimate player. I didn't initially want to believe that Sky Moore was as good as he was, and then the more you study him, the more you understand that he is an outstanding player.
You think he can win on the outside? Was that your fear with him?
I kind of thought slot only initially, and then I started watching tape, and the way he separates with the quickness.
He does.
He's going to be right at 5'10", and you're just kind of like, okay, here we go. But, his quickness on the outside, the way he contorts his body to make plays, he's probably not going to win a ton in the air. But you throw underneath, you throw to him on the move, you throw to him down the sidelines, this guy's going to make a lot of plays.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
One other guy that does interest me because of how quick he broke in college and then also banged up. And now I'm curious where you slot him and maybe where you're hearing some of your other draft scouts place him. But it's Justin Ross from Clemson.
Yeah, I have Justin Ross in the third round. And to be honest with you, I think I might be too low on Justin Ross.
Talent, man.
It's incredible.
He's everything you want.
He's 6'4". He's 205 pounds. He is a thinly built guy. And I don't think he has great time speed, but, man, he's got some initial quickness off the line, the snap. I mean, he'll line up on the inside of the slot, but you also see him play on the outside as well. The coaches there like to try and get him the ball quickly in space and just let him go. And he can make things happen with the ball in his hands. I mean, he's just going to find a way to make plays. And he's a hard guy to knock off his feet.
Yeah.
I mean, he is running – we talk about guys like the Debo Samuels and people like that when they're running with the ball, they just don't get knocked. I mean,
sure,
they're bouncing off guys and they're keeping going. But he had, a reception in the Syracuse game that I watched where he went as vertically as high as I've ever seen a receiver go to get a
football. Yeah,
He's got the hops. And, he just catches the ball really, really easily. And like I said, I got him in there in the third round, and I – kind of feel like, though, that maybe people are going to look at he had a neck injury that he was dealing with.
Ooh.
I hope this doesn't hurt him, but people are going to have to check that one out and then, and go from there.
Yeah, that's a scary medical anytime you're dealing with the neck. Is there any other receiver you like in the mid rounds? I mean, I've heard whispers about maybe, from a Cowboys lens, they could potentially be interested in Christian Watson, that North Dakota State kid.
Yeah, Christian Watson, and it's funny, I scouted his dad in college, which is great. When you start, last year was the
How
first.
How bizarre is that for you? When you circle, you've had a couple of those recently.
Yeah, well, last year we had all those kids, the Sertans and the
Samuel
Horns.
Jr.
Yeah, we had them all. It was kind of crazy how that all worked out. But yeah, I think with Christian Watson, and this kid's from Tampa, Florida, which is interesting that he would end up in North Dakota State. And North Dakota State plays really good football. They're a national champion. They live here. As laughing with some of their fans that, like, you guys need to start paying taxes as much as you guys are down here in Texas playing those games at Frisco. But yeah, you kind of wonder, because again, here's a 6'4", 208-pound guy, Tampa, Florida, and you're thinking, like, okay, why is he not at one of these SEC schools?
Sure. How did he end up at North Dakota State?
Yeah, why is he not at an ACC school? Why is he not at a North Carolina or North Carolina State? And you just, sometimes you miss. Sometimes you just flat miss on these players. And I'll tell you the thing that's interesting about Christian Watson is he can really return kicks. He is a very productive.
At 6'4", too. That's
kick
impressive.
Returner. So, I love the point of the way, though, this guy plays with a ton of emotion. You can see it. I mean, he's always fired up about the game. Start-stop quickness. I mean, he knows how to execute routes. There's some real smoothness to his game when you watch him, because he doesn't labor as all as a player. Sometimes you see these guys run routes, and they're kind of huffing and puffing and doing all that. Nah, this guy's, he's super good. And when the ball goes in the air, he goes and gets it. Now, again, no offense to who he's playing, but just know that, you know. I mean, I'd love to have seen him been able to play like at North Carolina State or North Carolina or Florida State or someplace like that, because he is that kind of a talent.
You know what? I could see him if for some reason Green Bay sticks with their trends.
Oh, sure.
They don't go receiver in round one.
No question.
That could be a Packer in round two.
No question. That's what I'm saying. That's the type of guy that Green Bay would look at, absolutely, because of his ability. He's got the size. He's got the length. He's a highly decorated player when you look at, like, the way he's played. But every one of his plays is like a chunk play, like those big, long chunk plays. And, you know, the conference that he plays in, these people have a hard time covering him.
Edge rushers. Yeah. And this is a big one, especially for Cowboy fans that tune in. You know, the Cowboys had a kerfuffle, if you will, with Randy Gregory this week. There was a bizarre situation with the contract language, and now he's a Denver Bronco. So I know Cowboy fans are thinking, oh no, what do you do at edge rusher? And they did bring back Dorrance Armstrong. They signed Dante Fowler Jr., who has a Dan Quinn connection. But you got to think the Cowboys, and I'm sure the rest of the NFL, you can't have enough good edge rushers.
No, you can't, and that's the thing. And I think the thing with Fowler, now we're starting to see, you and I talked about it on our show yesterday, that you're going to start to see the coaches now step in when we're going to get to the second week of free agency, and the coaches are going to start to step in and say, hey, I had this guy. George Edwards steps in. Hey, I had Javon, at Minnesota. Hey, I Dan Quinn. Hey, I had Keanu Neal. Hey, I had, you know, DeMonte KZ. I had these
that
guys.
That familiarity.
Yeah, coaches will now step in and say, well, listen, if you're looking for a guy, here's a guy. And I think that's the thing with Fowler. I think that if you look at, you know, what was going on, I think with him at the Rams and stuff like that, it really was about the sacks that he was able to get with, you know, playing with that defensive tackle. But that's what that guy does. I mean, you know, that it's a very good team when it comes to, you know, that Rams defense and stuff like that when you watch production. But again, this is what it's about. It's now the Cowboys are going to protect themselves. Leighton Vander Esch, I think, is a protected sign. I think that Fowler's a protected sign, you know, and then also Washington, the wide receiver. These are guys that are all going to be those low-dollar types of players that if you draft somebody and they're better, that you'll just go on and move on from them.
Certainly allows you to go into the draft thinking, man, we don't have a screaming need here.
Right.
It doesn't, as you're
saying.
I don't
think it keeps you from drafting kids.
No doubt. I really don't. But it allows you to still kind of have that best player available mentality.
Right.
I still get the vibe the Cowboys might go O-line at 24.
Mm-hmm.
But if there is George Karloftis out of Purdue.
Yeah.
And I've been watching more and more of him, Rodis. I'm starting to fall in love. with George Karloftis. There is a lot to like about this kid.
There is. And, you know, the thing with Karloftis is, and I kind of feel, you know, initially in this thing, you kind of felt like that maybe everybody early mock drafts were all, you know, talking about Walker. If you, I mean, like some of the very, very, very early on.
There's just no way he makes it, don't you think? He's got to be a top 20 guy.
No, that's what I'm saying. You know, Travion Walker from Georgia, everybody had him mocked to Dallas at 24. Everybody. It was like, Walker. Oh, that's all you saw. And then he goes out, they do more tape. It's always funny when the media scouts catch up to the real scouts and we're like, oh, that's that guy. Oh, and then you start to say, you know, that's, you know, pinning the offensive tackle from Northern Iowa.
Yeah, Northern Iowa. Yeah, right.
He's same guy. You know, all of a sudden it's like, oh, maybe he's there at 24.
Yeah.
And now you're like, he's not going to be there.
Man, you want to have some fun? Yeah. Walker versus Neil, Bama, Georgia battle.
No, oh, absolutely. That was a blast. Absolutely. So see, that's the kind of, but yeah, I think when you mentioned Karloftis, I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, there's some things with him that he's super, super, super steady in the way he plays. And he knows where to rush. I think that's where sometimes you get these defensive ends that get up the field so far and they can't get back.
Right.
But so he knows when I say, hey, he's going to get to that spot. Boom. He gets to that spot. It's not like he's struggling. He goes too far. He gets pushed past the guy. But his technique is outstanding rushing the passer. And I really do kind of feel like that someone is going to get a guy that knows how to play with his hands. The learning curve for him is going to be, I think, really, really small, because when you're a technique player and you kind of figure those things out, then you can break offensive tackles down, and that's what Karloftis is able to do.
When you watch these guys, and for me, it's all about the hand play.
Right.
That's when I think you can, because you have an athletic guy like a Jermaine Johnson II, freak athlete.
Right.
But you compare him with a George Karloftis. Karloftis is more NFL ready,
in
my opinion, because he has the hand play down. And I was doing some research on him. He's a fascinating kid because he's got that Greek background. So he does the Greco-Roman type wrestling.
Yeah.
But he also does hand-to-hand MMA.
Okay.
And that's how he gets the hand play down.
Yeah.
And you can notice that when you watch him, and he gets engaged. And it's great because now, I mean, some of these kids come in with just one move. Karloftis has a bunch of different ways he can beat you.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny you mentioned Jermaine Johnson, too. That was another one of those things that, it was funny, before the combine, I had some scouts tell me that, like, you media scouts are going to figure out that you maybe have Jermaine Johnson a little too high.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm not getting that vibe anymore. I think the NFL scouts are coming back around to maybe what the media scouts were thinking about Jermaine Johnson. But, I mean, you know.
He hits you.
Yeah.
You see it. Like he's a thumper.
Transfer from Georgia. And so, you know, you knew that Georgia defensively, it seems like this whole draft is littered with, and I mean littered in a positive way, with Georgia defenders, safeties, linebackers, defensive tackles. You know, so yeah, I just kind of feel like this kid, Jermaine Johnson, was, you know, the one thing, and I mentioned because of Karloftis, I think you have to be careful with Johnson in this regard from Florida State. Is that he has to be careful playing the run, because he will take
a
real aggressive step.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they're wheeling on him, you know, or he's up the field and then the ball's going inside of him. So, I mean, he wants to get there. And I mean, and again, I thought he handled double teams and stuff really well too. I mean, North Carolina tried to double team him a couple of times and it just didn't work out for him. North Carolina just couldn't handle the way that, you know, but he's one of those guys, like I say, he is going to run hard to get to a spot. I think sometimes you could fool him a little bit.
One guy that interests me, and now I wonder how big of a fall could he have after the pro day injury yesterday, David Ajabo from Michigan.
Yeah.
And watching him, it was fascinating because he's one of those guys, and I know some people might scream when they see an edge rusher and now you're dropping him into coverage, but heck, Michigan was having him cover tight ends in the slot quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
He is another freak athlete, and he was helped by playing opposite Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah.
But Ajabo is another one of those guys. You see the upside. You see the speed rushing potential. But I wonder how scary is this injury.
It's really scary because it's Achilles is what they're reporting about it. And so, you know, we'll see. Everybody's kind of talking about in comparison to, you know, Cam Akers with the Rams, you know, how quickly he came back. Everybody heals differently. And he plays a position much like Akers where he has to explode off his foot. And so, yeah, that's just going to be an issue. And, you know, there were questions about him, and this is a guy that Dallas could have very well been staring at 24. They could have just said, you know what, hey, edge rusher. Because I think Ajabo is that guy that's kind of behind all the guys we've mentioned, the Karloftises and the guys like that. I kind of had him as a second-round guy, you know, in that mode. I think there's a lot of questions. I don't think he's played a lot of football and with his background and stuff like that. He's super, super raw. To quote my buddy Dane Brugler, he's like a piece of sushi out there, you know, is how raw he can be.
I love that.
But that's kind of what you're dealing with right now. And there was going to probably be a little bit of a learning curve for him. He's one of those guys that you were probably going to, like, draft, and you were going to expect a whole lot from, and there was going to be the learning curve. And, you know, this injury is going to clearly set him back. And, you know, he could very well end up with it. I think he's going to probably end up with a really good team that can maybe afford to just redshirt him for the year and then play him for 2023. But, you know, hey, you know, everybody heals differently. But, man, this guy was a talented player, but like I said, super, super raw.
You mentioned raw, a guy that could end up being maybe a diamond in the rough mm-hmm. in this class for me is the Penn State kid. Arnold Ibikiti, mm-hmm. and I might be saying his name completely wrong, the last name. It's a tough one.
Yeah.
But he's a fun player to watch. And
what did you like about him? Did you get to see him?
Yeah, so I was watching some of him last night, and I knew we would be talking about some of the edge rushers. You know, I like his ability, one, not just outside up the field, but uh-huh. he's got a knack for being able to get that punch and then cut back on inside.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. To me, he does seem like he's kind of figuring some stuff out on the fly a little bit. So I think that there's some development there for him. But I mean, you look at some of the numbers as well. And, you know, we just had Micah Parsons come out of Penn State and dominate for the Cowboys.
Right.
The only guy that had more success in terms of pressure wins in Penn State history was this kid, Ibikiti.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just see some natural raw pass rushing ability. Now, there are some times where if a lineman gets on him, I think he has some trouble getting off.
Yeah. No, I think you're right, man. You totally nailed this kid the way he plays. I mean, there was times where, I mean, to me, and I watch him, you talk about figuring it out. And, you know, he's going to play primarily on the right side. You don't see him flip. I was watching the Iowa, the Auburn, and the Ohio State games, and you think these guys kind of flip, you know, ends and stuff like that. He primarily plays as that right edge. And I think there was, like, times where I thought he had a little balance problems. Where people were kind of like he would get up the field or people would knock him around. And, you know, I mean, you know, he's a 6'2", he's 250 pounds. I'd like to see him, like you said, get rid of the blocker a little quicker mm-hmm. with him. But I just feel like he needed to do a little bit better job of playing on his feet, you know. And I just
he does end up on the ground sometimes.
Yeah, the body type looks fine, but the consistency of the balance, I think, is a little bit of an issue with
him. Heck, I mean, maybe he ends. Would you have a three on him?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're able to get that guy in the third round,
yeah,
I think you're jumping for joy.
Yep. I do. I love that.
Any other, you know, some of these guys that you think maybe even day two that stand out to you or day three even?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the Cowboys clearly and I really there's a kid, Mafe, from Minnesota that I really, really like. And, you know, I was like, I couldn't figure out it's boy Mafe. Yeah, he's 6'4". He is 261 pounds. And he generally plays to the open or the weak side of the formation. So if you don't have a tight end over there, he's on what they call the open side of the field. And I can see a guy that can really, really run. And the burst, the closing speed, the chase, the first step is really, really impressive with the way he's getting off the ball. And I think he's a really good finisher and a tackler, and he makes a ton of plays where he has to run the ball down from the backside. The ball's going away, and he's running to get there. So I like him defending the run. I like him also the way he plays his hands, and he's not going to let blockers get on him. He's going to like get and control those blockers and then fighting with his hands to stay on the move. So he's always in a two-point stance too, which means he's standing up on his feet, not hand-down guy. But, man, that's going to be the question. Can he put his hand down? I think he can. The power, the speed, the burst. And then my last bit of my notes, and I did this guy pretty early, I said, I don't know why more folks aren't talking about him more because of how good of a player he is off the edge. Maybe I just caught him early, and then we'll start to hear more about Mafe from Minnesota here in this draft.
One guy that I saw Dane was really high on him. You know, for the Cowboys, I don't know that he'd be a fit, but if you're a 3-4 team, I think he fits perfectly as a defensive end. Logan Hall out of Houston.
Yeah. Logan Hall is, and, you know, Dane, I believe, has him as a defensive end or is looking, I think Kavanaugh, too, was looking at as a defensive end. I left him at the three tech.
Yeah, I think four down line, he's got to kick inside.
Yeah, I do, too. And I think to me, 6'6", he's 283 pounds. You know, this guy, if you watch him play, at being that tall, you would think, oh, he has problems moving. You know, maybe he's a little jerky with his moves and stuff like that. But, man, this guy has a – when he comes off the ball, he could be a problem because of his length and how long he is, like I say. I think his power is the best trait. There were several times where he just walked the guard back into the quarterback and – You know, I mean, he did a really good job. I kind of compared him to David Irving, former Cowboy, because of the length and how he looks. I don't think he's as slippery as David Irving. You know what I mean? Like, you know, kind of get in that gap, kind of burst, boom.
He doesn't have that speed, but he's probably better, you know, maybe at the point of it. He doesn't get moved. Yeah, I'll tell you that. Logan Hall's a space eater.
Exactly. He's a really, really good guy. So, I mean, a lot of good defensive ends.
A lot of depth. It's a good year for edge rushers, especially if you're a Cowboy fan or if you're a fan of a team out there that needs some help. You're going to find a good one even in the third round this year.
No, absolutely. I think this thing goes, you know, maybe 3-4 rounds deep. I mean, I've got still some more guys to do. But if I'm the Dallas Cowboys and say, I want to look at one at 24, we've talked about the wide receivers. That would be a good depth position. The defensive ends, I think, would be a really good depth position. I think the defensive tackles, I think also, too, this will be a good spot as far as the Cowboys, too, for interior offensive linemen, too, depending on what you think about with Green and Ed Ingram and Zion Johnson and those guys. We've talked about those guys before. I just think this draft's going to kind of play well for some of the things that the Cowboys are really, really looking for.
We're getting closer and closer.
We are.
Starting to get really exciting. Shout out to our friends at Boomer Jacks, especially during March Madness.
Yes.
Go out there, grab a drink, enjoy the weekends, hang out at Boomer Jacks. It's an absolutely great spot.
And, too, if you're also getting ready to make those draft plans, you say it's going to be around the corner, Boomer Jacks would be a great place to go watch the draft, listen to the draft. I mean, we've got draft coverage for you here.
Absolutely.
On 105.3 The Fan as well. But always thank you to Boomer Jacks. Super people out there. Go check them out. The drink specials, the food, the staff, everyone out there is outstanding.
Broadus, you're the best, my friend.
Appreciate you, brother. See you next week, maybe.
I'll see you next week. Hugs and hand pounds, everybody. We will catch you next week. Trust the tape, baby.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.